Since the world first became aware of the new disease SARS, research scientists have been cooperating in their work, and that is in contrast to the early work on another relatively new virus, HIV. Early on, HIV researchers and the French and American governments got involved in a protracted dispute over who deserved credit for discovering the virus. NPR's Joanne Silberna reports that SARS researchers are now starting to jockey for who should get the credit and the patents for key discoveries.
So far, at least, it's all been very collegial. In April, the World Health Organization was coordinating the activities of a dozen labs around the world, working 24 hours a day to determine the exact molecular makeup of the genes of the SARS virus. Knowing that could lead to a really accurate test for SARS, or a vaccine, or a treatment, all of which could reap huge profits. WHO officials cast the effort as an academic collaboration, not a race. They didn't think anyone was applying for patents. But one group was, Versatech, the technology licensing unit of the University of Hong Kong. The Hong Kong group was the first to isolate the virus in late March, and that's when they applied for a U.S. patent. Versatech official Hao Sinyu said they did it so that they and other academic labs wouldn't be blocked from studying the virus.
We deem patent, for example, if there is a third party, they file a similar patent. And then eventually, if we have to pay a license fee to do the research and development work on that subject matter, I don't think it is reasonable and logical.
Companies, for the most part, are happy to see patents for academic research, says Gillian Woollett. She's in charge of science and regulatory affairs for Bio, the biotech industry trade group. Woollett says patents grant the right to commercialize a discovery, but there's a trade-off.
The price you pay is you have to put the information in the public domain, and then other people can use it to actually sort of trump you and get an even better product, maybe before you've managed to manufacture yours.
Now, the University of Hong Kong's Hao Sinyu says they eventually hope to charge licensing fees to companies that want to manufacture products, but won't make those fees too high, otherwise no companies will apply, and they'll give a break to other academic researchers.
We can license it for $1 or 1 penny, you know, to grant the right for them to do the research.
That's if the University of Hong Kong gets the patent. U.S. patents are quirky. Individual patent officers and courts often interpret rules and regulations differently. Being first doesn't always take the day. Since Hong Kong applied for its patent, at least two other places have. The British Columbia Cancer Center, which was first to sequence the virus, and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. CDC Director Julie Gerberding says their reasons were similar to the University of Hong Kong's.
From our standpoint, it's a protective measure to make sure that the access to the virus remains open for everyone.
The CDC has already published the sequence of the SARS virus on the Internet. The concept of patenting viruses disturbs some scientists who say that genes are products of nature. They're not inventions. Gillian Woollett has the biotech industry's answer to that.
The best way for those people who disapprove of patents to make sure information is freely shared is, ironically, is to actually get the patents themselves and then put them in the public domain.
Woollett got her PhD at the same lab where Alexander Fleming developed penicillin. He didn't patent it. The lab got no money. Decades later, the lab developed a new antibiotic, patented it, and Woollett remembers the place at least got a new coat of paint. The value of any SARS patent remains to be seen. It can take a year or two for an application to go through. By which time, if the WHO has its way, SARS will be a thing of the past. Then again, if it's become widespread, patents could be very valuable. Joanne Silberner, NPR News, Washington.